here's all the curses that are going to come if you don't. And then in 29, he goes through some of them again and reminds them of what will be the case. And that's what is going on here, is that we're encouraged, that we would be challenged, that we would be called to you and who you are and what Jesus Christ has done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have the backdrop of chapter 29 with all of this discussions of the blessings and cursings. And then it's kind of interesting. We come to verse 29, and you'd say, how does that fit with what was just described? Because what does he say here? Verse 29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And so here's this verse that seems very strange to come after God has given them through Moses all of these things about how you're to live your life. The secret things that belong to the Lord. These are the things that are His. There's things that we know, there's things that He knows. And we need to realize that there are going to be things in our life that we are just not going to be aware of. No man, no woman, no child, perhaps even the angels are going to know the things that God knows. And so if there's one thing I want us to take away with us this morning is this. Have high thoughts about God. Have high thoughts about God. Don't try to reduce God down to our level. Don't push God into your own understanding. Beware when thinking about God that you do not strip God of the great mystery of His godliness. And so as we look at this topic, I want to answer three questions about the transcendence of God. First of all, what does it mean that God is transcendent? Secondly, if God is transcendent, how is He revealed? Can He even be known if He is transcendent? And then thirdly, if this transcendent God is revealed, can I know Him personally? Can I have a relationship with Him? So first of all, what does it mean that God is transcendent? Well, the transcendence of God simply means that God is above us, that God is beyond us. He is unreachable. We are creatures. He is created. He is other than who we are. He is unreachable in His character and His person. He is self-sustaining. He doesn't require us in any way. He needs nothing but Himself. The fancy word for this is aseity. Aseity. If you were in exams and in your biblical theological terms, there's the fancy word that you want to throw around for people to know. God has His aseity. Romans chapter 11, verse 34 says this, who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? And that's the picture we have here, that God is self-entity. He is above us. He is beyond us. He doesn't need us. There's nothing that we provide or add to Him. So we need to have this high view of God. We must realize that God, before creation, the adult class is discussing God and what He has done and in creation, but God doesn't need creation. God doesn't need us to be who He is. The Holy Spirit, the Son of God, they had divine fellowship from all eternity before the world and the universe ever even came into being. It was perfection. God didn't need us. God didn't need creation, and I would be so bold as to say, God didn't need the cross. It wasn't necessary for the divine act of Jesus Christ to come and live and die for God. It didn't add anything to Him. Christ and His cross could not add anything to God because God is complete in Himself, but it does reveal Him. Through that death on the cross, through that life and that giving up, God shows his glory to us. He shows us that he is a great and glorious God, and we praise his name for what he has done. But it wasn't necessary for God, for his essential goodness, to even have that. You cannot add anything to God. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 just gives us a picture of this God who is transcendent. Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to begin our reading at verse 13. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13. Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? Or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compare with him? An idol? A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts for it silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood, and that will not rot. He tries to choose wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman, to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Do you see how God is to be understood by us? We have a great, incredible God. He's like no other. He's not an idol. He can't be in that form. He is above all gods. He is supreme. He is exalted above all things. One biblical scholar said quite truly, how vastly different is the God of the Scriptures from the God of the average pulpit today. And I would say of the shack. That is not the God we worship. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And this is at the conclusion here. And he says this: God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. God is transcendent. He is above us. He needs nothing from us. So the second question then is, if God is transcendent, can we know him? Can we know anything about him? And of course, the irony of this is, as we study God and as we think about these things, he is unknowable. So we should probably stop right here and we all go about our ways. He's unknowable. Yet we still seek to try to find out and discover and understand who he is. What is he like? How do we define God? How can we describe God? How do we have any connection to this transcendent God? And the paradox is, and the problem, if you will, is that God is not like anything that we know. We don't have any basis for understanding him. Isaiah said here, to whom or to what will you compare God? What will you compare him to? How will you have any kind of knowledge of him? And I was even thinking, as we're discussing this in the Genesis class today, here we are talking about God and the deep and these things, and we're trying to make language that is human to help us understand who God is, because he is so transcendent above us. He's superior to all things. But God does reveal himself. He gives us some idea of who he is. He has condescended to have descriptions of him from natural things, from things that we're familiar with. And that's why within the Word of God, he uses many words like. God appeared as, it was if he was this. And he describes himself by comparing to other things. Although he's not those things, he's not exactly what he's described, he borrows the things of nature, the things that we have some connection with, that are helping us understanding. It's amazing that he will do this for us, that he gives us some idea. A good example of this is Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. Here's the picture of what I'm talking about. In the 30th year, in the fourth month of the fifth day, while I, Ezekiel, was among the exiles by the Kibar River, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. What did Ezekiel see? He saw visions, is what he tells us here. Ezekiel has nothing to interpret God by. There's no language that can describe God. There's nothing in his visions that he was seeing, that he was actually literally seeing. So what does he do? He uses like words. He has to, because we can't see God. We don't know God. He is transcendent, but he reveals himself in this way. Verse 13. The appearance of the living creatures was like burning coals of fire or like torches. Fire moving back and forth among the creatures. It was bright and lightning flashed out of it. So do you think he saw burning coals of fire? Do you think he saw torches? I don't think so. But that's the language that he was able to give us some idea of what was going on here. It was the appearance of these things. And then as you read down this passage in Ezekiel 1, and we come to the burning throne of God, of Christ, of God, he gets even less definite about what he's saying. Listen to verse 26. Above the expanse over their heads was what looked like a throne of sapphire. And high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And that from there down, he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him. This is the vision. You see how he's using like and as, because we don't have any way to comprehend more than this. And it gets even a little stranger here. Verse 28, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. It's an incredible passage that talks about who God is, the transcendent God, using words that we can start to understand. But we need to be careful. We cannot read this in a literal fashion. We can't read this as if that is exactly what these things were, because God cannot be put into our language. We can't subdue him and reduce him down to what our minds can contain. And I think our world is too willing to do this, to try to bring God into that setting. So we need to be aware when we're talking about God, or when we're expressing these things or doctrines even in Scripture, that we are careful that we don't try to clearly say we define what is not definable, because God is not definable. We need to be aware that we contemplate God, that we never put him into our concept, into our human forms or natures. Why does God say, don't make any images of me? Because it's not possible to put any image to God. A.W. Tozer said this, the God of contemporary Christianity is only slightly superior to the gods of Greece and Rome, if indeed he's not actually inferior to them. Why? Because in that he is weak and helpless, while at least those Greek and Roman gods had power. What if we reduce God to this great God, this transcendent God, this one who has said of him that there are secrets that belong to him and not to us? What have we done but we have stripped him of his power, of his glory, of his sovereignty, and of his dignity, just so that we can have some sense that we think we know who he is? God is greater than any language. He's greater than any vision. He's greater than any concept imaginable. Any thought that could enter into your heart and mind of anyone is God's greatness than that. So how do we think about this? He has revealed himself to us. He is transcendent. We have some connection to him, but can I know him personally? Can I have a relationship with him? So if we cannot know the secret things that belong to our God, what do I do? Do I just say, I'll never know? I'll never have a connection to God. I don't know how this works. Well, it's interesting when we ask this question, can I know him personally? It's another paradox. It's another problem for us. You see, God cannot be known by the reason of our mind. I can't intellectually come to an understanding and knowledge of God. Many people make the mistake of thinking that just because I know God or I know about God, that I know him. The illustration that I kind of understand here and see is about roller coasters. If I say I know roller coasters, there's two words, I'll use a couple of Greek words here about how you can know roller coasters. One is gnosis, and the other is epignosis. Let me explain that to you. If I'm a person who knows roller coasters because I've watched them on videos, because I've actually gone to an amusement park and stood and seen them go up and down, because I have studied them and how they work and how they function, and I say, well, I know roller coasters. And what are you going to tell me? Courtney, you do not know roller coasters. Have you ever been on one? Well, no, I've never been on a roller coaster, but I know roller coasters. I see what happens with them. Well, that's gnosis. That's just knowledge about that roller coaster. But until I get on the roller coaster, I don't have epignosis. I don't have that personal connection experience of that roller coaster. And I think those of you who were married, if you said, yeah, I gnosis my wife, but I have no epignosis, I think you would be in a place where you did not really know your wife. And that's what we need to realize, is that we need epignosis. We need a life that is knowing God more than just about him, but knowing him personally. And that comes through the Spirit. The Spirit of God, we again talked, it's interesting in our discussion in Genesis, just got at the heart of what we're looking at here. The Spirit is the means that we come to know God through his revelation. And I think that's what we need to see here. God reveals himself through revelation, through his word. And I come back to the shack because this is something that book, the movie, may show these same things. But that movie, that book, points away from the word of God. It takes you in a place that says, that's not important. What's really important is what you feel and how you think yourself and your own kind of understandings. The author here talks about Mack in the movie itself, and particularly the book. He's gone to seminary, and he actually was at seminary. And I actually saw some reviews about this where someone who had read the book had said, wow, I wasted my time in seminary. I just needed to read this book, and I would have known everything I need to know. Well, that's frightening, that if people are saying the revelation of God is not important. And that's what happens here. Mack in this talks about this, and it says this: God's voice has been reduced to paper, and even that paper has to be moderated and deciphered by the proper authorities and intellectuals. That was the sense, and that was put down. Nobody wanted God in a box, just in a book that you had no connection with. And that's the point that the author is making. That's the scary teaching that was here, that I don't really need revelation. I don't really find God in that way. I'll find God through other means. And we know people say, you know, I had a word from God, or the Lord spoke to me. And they're looking, the world and the Christian world per se is looking for new revelation, new words from God, and they walk away from Scripture. But I want to say to you that God reveals himself through his Scripture, through the Word. He takes his Word, and as it's preached, and the Word of God is sown on receptive soil in that unbeliever's heart, and that faith comes because the Spirit makes what's dead alive in Jesus Christ so that he can hear it. We're talking about this at the McHenry's because people they don't get it. They don't see these things because they're dark, their eyes, they're blind. Until the Spirit makes them alive, they can't see the revelation, these things that are there, and they are dead to it. But when the Word is brought by the power of the Spirit to that dead heart, it's made alive. God reveals himself in this very way. This transcendent God, this God who is above us, this God who is like nothing else, beyond us and unreachable, becomes reachable through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. You have to expect that. You have to learn that. So when we speak of the good news of Jesus Christ, when we're talking to others and it seems so crystal clear in what we believe and what we understand, it's not for them. Because they're without the Spirit. The God transcendent is not revealed to them by the Spirit. He cannot understand him, the verse goes on. And it says, why can't these things be understood? Because they are spiritually discerned. And they're without the Spirit. They don't have that revelation. So if a man is dead in his trespasses and his sins, how can he know God? Well, Jesus gave the answer to Nicodemus that night as he's talking to him. And he said in John 3:3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Matthew 11:27, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. And, note this, those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Is it any wonder, except a man be born again by the Spirit, that God comes to him through that and reveals the Christ of the gospel of Jesus, that he shows who he is? The only way he can know is through that. He only sees these things when God reveals it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's what we have, this God transcendent, the light shining out of darkness. Again, this was we were discussing this in the adult class in Genesis, the sense of darkness and light. And here it is right before us in 2 Corinthians. Made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where did it shine? Where did this shine? In my head? Was it my intellect? Is this where the light was shining that was going to make a change in my life? How about my eyes, my scientific eyes? My eyes that have to see things in a scientific way connected with my very reasoning mind. Is that how this is revealed to me personally? No. Because his light shines in my heart. In your heart. That's the place where God reveals himself to us. And he has complete disclosure at the heart level through Christ and his Spirit working in us. So do you ever find God to seem a little transcendent, a little out there, a little removed? Does it ever seem to you that, you know, I just don't understand him? He doesn't seem to have any involvement in my life. I don't know what to think about these things. Do you ever live in that place? And so we have this sense sometimes of, he doesn't care, he doesn't know about me, and I don't know what to do. I feel lost. Maybe you're here today because you're feeling lost, or you're feeling like you have doubts, or you have a sense of, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. This is not going the way that I expected life to go for me. Maybe you're dealing with some hurts, some broken hearts, some areas of your life that are before you. Maybe there's some areas of sin in your life that have kind of taken you away from God, have left you in a place where you're maybe either angry with God, you're disappointed, you're upset, you're mad. Well, God, the transcendent God, will reach to you through the power of his Spirit, through what Jesus Christ has done. He has indeed, the transcendent God, made himself available to us through Christ. And Christ alone. There is no other way. There is nothing else. There is not a shack that you're going to be able to go to and have some discussions and feel better about it. You need to come to the cross of Jesus Christ. You need to realize, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I am lost and hopeless on my own. I have nothing to offer. God doesn't need me, but I need what he has to offer, which is salvation through Jesus Christ. This God wants this for you. We can be made alive through the power of the Spirit that takes what is dead and makes it alive. Do you know that power in your life? Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because this great transcendent God wants us to be his children and calls to us to repent and turn and trust in him alone for our salvation. Then you can know this transcendent God. Then you can have that relationship that he reveals himself to you. Not just knowledge, just not gnosis, but you can have epignosis with this transcendent God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, you are incredible. You are great and magnificent. You are above all things, beyond our understanding. You are, in a sense, unknowable, unreachable. You are self-sustaining. And yet, Lord, you have condescended to come to us through your word, through the power of the Spirit, through Christ Jesus, that we may know who you, the transcendent God, are. But we can only know what you're like. We can only have that sense of understanding because you are not created. You are not us. And so, Lord, we thank you that you sent your Son to reveal yourself to us, that we might know something of what you are like through Christ. We thank you that you've given us your word, the revelation of who you are that speaks of what's important to you and what you desire of us. And we thank you for your Spirit that comes and applies this salvation, this redemption to us that Jesus Christ has accomplished on our behalf. Lord, if there are any here today who don't know this accomplished in their life, this applied in their life, who look at you as far, far away and disconnected and unreachable and unknowable, that they would come to this place. And Lord, if there are places in our lives where we have become casual, where we look at you as if you're in a shack or you're just another person that's there and can give us some help, Lord, help us to see the real God that you are, transcendent above all, that you are on the throne, that you are seated in that place, that Jesus Christ has won the victory over sin, over Satan, over death, and he is seated at your right hand, and we have hope eternal that you will return and that you will collect your own and that we will be with you forever. transcendent God made close to us. We thank you for this gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen.